The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Fearless Agent Podcast, where you learn how to make way more money fast selling real estate with your host, the Fearless Agent himself, Bob Loeffler.
And good day to you. This is Bob right here at the Fearless Agent Podcast for real estate sales professionals like you, where we explain why everything is, what is this, 8.5 by 11?
Absolutely.
Maybe 8.5 by 11. Everything you've been taught by the real estate industry is wrong, and you will make lots more money and way less time by doing the exact opposite. And you heard him, the lovely Ramon B.
I jumped on the microphone a little too early there.
But that's okay.
I wanted to beat.
You're in charge here. You're here every day.
I wanted to beat the gentle beeping of the trash truck outside the window.
The garbage truck.
Yes.
With that annoying reverse beep up. Beep, beep, beep. Now, let me just say one thing.
Yes, please.
Garbage truck is huge. Mm-hmm. It's very loud anyway.
Mm-hmm. It smells.
So stupid. How drunk would you have to be? And then if you were that drunk, would that beeping help?
You know, I'm sure that somewhere there has been a drunk run over by
Yes. Yeah, forwards. And backwards.
Yeah. The world before beeping and how about and backup cameras and all that kind
I'm
of fun
be honest,
stuff.
I was
as well.
That drunk.
Were you?
Yeah.
You've been.
Oh, no,
have
I
you
have
been,
a history of being really, really drunk.
Have you been backed up
in this very neighborhood?
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
I've had the cop car back up slowly with no beeping noise because they don't want to warn you when they're coming, just so they can load me into the back seat quicker.
Wow.
Easier.
Wow.
But those days are over. That's all behind us now. It's in the rearview mirror. You know,
Backup camera. We should say that.
It's in the backup camera. Yeah. Now, thank God they didn't have the dash cam back in those days. Oh, my Lord. We've had guests on this show that have been on the police dash cam, and I've seen the video. So
really?
Yeah. We're not going to name names?
We're not going to name names.
Now, we always start with what I like to call the headlines of the day. These are actual headlines printed out. What is this, 8.5 by 11, roughly?
I will say
headline of the day is right here. eBay. Have you heard of the eBay?
I have.
They're firing 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Are we going to get to bid on them? Or? Probably not.
Wow.
Now, I thought we would do something different today.
Oh.
Something that makes even less sense than the crap we normally dole out. What do you think?
Why not? We're here.
All right.
The mics are on.
I was inspired to do this morning at, you know, I eat the breakfast at Randy's every day.
Same breakfast.
Have you ever been to Randy's?
No.
I think maybe we need to get you to Randy's.
Still waiting for the invite, yes.
All right. Well, you're welcome. It's a restaurant. They're open. The sign says open.
Okay. Well. I'll go on in myself.
And they're hiring. If this thing doesn't work out, they have a sign that says we're hiring.
I may put in an application while I'm there.
Now, so the lady that I'm eating breakfast, her name was Ramona.
Hey.
Huh?
Wait, you said was.
Oh, her name
her
is
name
Ramona.
Her name was. Okay, I was going to say, what happened after you met her?
I didn't know her very well, and then she said my first job was at Taco Bell. And then I was sitting there.
Let me just stop you right here.
Stop. Let's stop.
Let's take a break. In case we go down the racist road.
We're not.
Let's just say Ramona, Taco Bell, and we'll just put that to bed for right now.
No, we can't because this is the premise.
All right. Thinly veiled comedy premise. Very thinly veiled.
Let's go. So, you know, we talk about real estate. Okay, that gets boring after a while. I think anybody would agree. That's why we spice it up with the headlines of the day and that kind of baloney.
I get it. Spicy.
Malarkey, as I
Taco
like to call
Bell.
It. Yeah. Now, what was your first job, Ramon?
McDonald's.
Oh, is that official, right? Well, that's not that's McDonald's. A hop, skip, and a jump from Taco Bell.
In fact, it was just down the road from the Taco
Bell.
Hey,
I'm going to take a call. Watch this.
Take a call. Here we go.
Austin, you're on, say you're on the show. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Say hi. You're on the show.
Hi.
Did I hear you say, oh, God?
Oh, God. I should know better.
Do you have a question involving real estate?
I do.
Let's hear it. Can you hear him okay? Can the kids hear? It's medium. I'm going to turn up the volume. Maybe that's the problem. There we go.
My question is this. When calling for sale by owners and you ask them if it's because they hate realtors and they say no, it's because I have sold homes in the past by owner and have had success. Have you had any luck with those people when you were calling by owners back in the day?
So what you're telling me is it's not about your hatred for realtors. It's only about money. Is that
right.
Correct? Yeah.
Yep.
And then you do the value proposition. And
right. I've just had no luck in the past when they say that they have sold homes by owner in the past.
That tends to be true.
Okay.
Yeah, they tend to be the committed do-it-yourselfer that
right.
is fine with losing money. They, you know, these are people that have too much time on their hands. Have you met Ramon B., my producer, by the way?
I have.
Speaking of too much time on his hands.
Right.
He has a collection of Hot Wheels at home.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And childish.
When I was talking question. About being stuffed in the back of the cop car, this guy, Austin, used to be a cop. That's
cool.
All you got?
That's all I got.
Once again, you were on the show. Say goodnight, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so where were we? Oh, your first job at McDonald's.
Yes.
Now, what did that teach you?
You know what? There's a famous phrase I got out of there. Mm-hmm. Still, always in the back of my mind was, if you have time to lean, you have time to clean.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
And I can kind of roll that over to everything.
Yeah, and I just must say, your little booth there is filthy. So
thank you.
No, well, it's pretty clean, actually.
I share it with other people.
Oh,
so
do you
I try
really?
My best to
oh,
keep
you,
it clean.
You mean you're not the only guy in that
no, there's
soundproof booth?
There's a woman here overnight who does all the Spanish programming overnight.
So. Overnight
yep.
Spanish?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. So, but she's clean as well, I'm just saying.
I only know one thing in Spanish.
And that is?
Cuidado, la plata está muy caliente. Be careful, the plate is very hot. That's all you need to know. You need to know that.
Very true.
Yeah, that comes in handy. Now, you got your job at McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
and then your next job, by the way, my first job was selling tropical fish.
That's probably similar. I don't know what was in the filet of fish. So
no, it was actually I had a volunteer job showing movies to little kids in the hood with a 16mm film. You know, the 16mm. This was all like the viewer there and that. And yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
But I didn't get paid until I worked at tropical fish business.
Wait, what kind of films?
They were actual movies, like movies that okay. you'd heard of.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then we would, it was at the Vista del Camino Center in South Scottsdale.
All right.
And they had little kids. There was actually an Indian reservation right there in the middle of Scottsdale, the Yaqui Indian Reservation. It's like a neighborhood, which is kind of weird.
Hmm.
And then... yeah, just little kids. So I was like 12. And I was the AV guy in grade school.
So you should actually be on this side of the booth.
I kind of thought that's where I would end up in life, on the other side of the booth.
Well, thankful for all the people who have been on this side of the booth that yeah, you're on that side
but
of the
now,
booth.
But now, to be the AV guy, you have to be a computer guy. You have to be the IT guy to be the AV guy.
That is the truth.
Yeah, so that sucks. So then you went from McDonald's. Where'd you head next?
It was just fast food up until I did. It was a place called Builders Emporium. Actually, I take that back. It was a place called Home Base, which was kind of a competitor to the up-and-coming Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was driving forklifts and
is
throwing.
Is that here in this town?
No, this was in California.
What town was that in?
It was in Bakersfield.
Bakersfield,
California.
McDonald's, okay.
McDonald's, then to throwing concrete bags and driving forklifts and that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You look like a forklift guy. Now, here's a fun story.
Oh, so good. About time.
I work at the Tropical Fish Store with this other guy, and this alcoholic guy ran the store.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would take us to build aquariums. So we would pile in this Corvair van. Have you ever seen one of those
things?
Yes,
I have.
It's
yes.
Kind of a miniature van, yeah. Really.
Yeah.
That's when all cars were huge and it was miniature. And then the motor was in the middle. You know, you had it right next to you
yeah.
Was the motor.
Like a flat six.
He had a flat front and then yeah. The flat six, right? So then he's so hung over one day. I'm 13. He goes, Bob, can you drive? I go, of course. He goes, why don't you just go take the van and Tom and the other. If I drive, 13 years old, I drive to 53rd Avenue in Buckeye to
wow.
The industrial district. Now, I look like I'm 10 because I was short. But in a Corvair van, you look like a regular sized
yeah.
Human if you're driving it even at age 10, I think. So that's crazy.
That's a long haul.
That's a long haul.
Even for an adult.
And then we would build aquariums with table saws and big sheets of plexiglass, and it was quite exciting, actually, when you were a
13-year-old. Did any of them leak after you installed them?
I'm sure they did. Yeah, the quality control was very low with the alcoholic guy.
Mm-hmm. Figured as much.
Then did you throw papers? Paper
no,
boy?
Did
never
not
threw
do that.
Papers.
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Boy.
That's no, that did not seem like a fantastic kind of gig there. Getting
it
up
actually
early.
Was because it gets you out. You're out. Of course, yeah. It was hot, so there's that.
Yeah.
I had 400 houses, and then I delivered papers to a neighborhood where I ended up selling more houses in that neighborhood than any realtor in history.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The same neighborhood?
Same neighborhood.
You see, I think throwing the papers would have been all right. I think the going to collect the money part of it, I was not into.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to take my sweatshirt off while you kill time by talking.
Well,
watch how they do this in the radio business.
Good. Hits the microphone, and he's taking off his sweatshirt, and he's completely.
There's a word for that, isn't there? Keep
yeah,
talking.
Nudity. Now you're completely nude. Could you put on like a t-shirt?
I'm naked. Yeah, I came in without pants, but now I don't even have the sweatshirt on.
Well, I didn't see below the console there, so.
So, and that fits in today's topic, which was investing in real estate. Those houses were $20,000 new, and today I think they're $800,000, I'm guessing, about $800,000.
And that's because you delivered papers on that block.
That had nothing to do with it. Yeah, it wasn't because they had a celebrity paper boy that drove up the price.
The price
of the
neighborhood,
right.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Donald Trump's argument in his appraisal that was grossly overinflated because the house is worth more because I lived in it?
You know what? I don't know that,
but
it sounds like him.
Part of it, yeah.
Ooh, look at the coffee.
Now, his attorney, the hot chick attorney, you know who I'm talking about? What's her name? Haba?
I don't know her name as well.
I think her name is Haba.
I'll take that.
But she has the appearance of gross incompetence.
Why is that? Just because she's hot?
No. No, there's plenty of Condoleezza Rice. Now, if you're old like me, I think Condoleezza Rice is hot. But she's certainly not incompetent.
No. No, she was not. Is not. Where are we going here?
The topic is famous, very competent, okay. Hot chicks. Let's get back to real estate so we don't hurt ourselves.
I'll let you handle that part.
Okay. So we were talking about in the investor presentation. That was what we were talking about last week. And we left off at secret number 4 for those of you who were tuning in. Now, if this is your first episode and you haven't been grossed out or turned off already, if you go back in time to episode number 1 and listen to them forward, you may end up hearing things that make more sense in a certain order. So secret number 4 is the type of property that you choose to invest in and the price range of that property. So rule number 1 is it must be a single-family home. You're going to get the highest rate of return. with a single-family home, that would be higher than like a townhome or a patio home, and that would be a higher rate of return than a condo, certainly. Condo would be a higher rate of return than multifamily or anything like that. So, or duplex, fourplex, you know, anything like that. So highest rate of return is always going to be with a single family home. So the other rules of thumb for getting the highest rate of return, and we covered this last week, but if you're a real investor, you don't care about anything except high rate of return. The other things are going to be not functionally obsolete. So it's got to appeal to prospective tenants. So let's say you're going to find your single family home. You would want it to be as close to downtown on the good side of town. We talked about the location thing last week. But you would also want it not to be no busy streets. You don't want it facing a street that has a yellow line down the middle. You want it to be in the middle of the neighborhood. You want it to be three bedrooms or more, two bathrooms or more, two rooms with a toilet. So not it could be one and a half bath or one and three quarter. And a single level would be best. And then kind of an entry level 1960s house is modern enough that if you had to do repairs of some sort, it would be easy to do because it's drywall over studs rather than plaster and all that kind of stuff. So homogeneous is what we're looking for. Also, pick one where nobody has ever done any room additions of any kind. So you're looking for that original condition 1960s house, which is not that easy to find anymore. So you're looking for something where somebody has not added on. It's in a neighborhood where all the houses in the neighborhood happen to be two-bathroom homes, because if all the houses in the neighborhood are one-bathroom homes, that tends to be the hood typically. So nice neighborhood that you would feel comfortable living in safety-wise, and three-bedroom, two-bath, nothing funky is the goal. So Again, once you found that type of property, that's the type of property you're looking for, you would want it to be at the bottom end of the price range when you're in that area. So you find the location, then you find the right type of property, and then you just want you don't have to get the cheapest one, but you don't have to get a good deal either. You just have to get the right type of property in the right area. So in fact, that leads us to secret number five. So the best property versus the best deal. So if I was showing you houses and we were looking in this part of town, and then I show you one, and then I show you another one in a different part of town, and then a different one in a different part of town, and I said, now which of those three houses is the best deal? And you would go, oh, that one's the best deal. I go, now which is the one that's in a neighborhood that will double in value the most or the fastest? And you go, oh, well, that wouldn't be that one. It would be this one over here. That's right. And you should overpay to get that one. Get the best property, not the best deal. So the things that hurt investors are this bargain hunter mentality. And I would use my, my parents' house in that neighborhood I was talking about. So that was $20,000 in 19 – everybody just write this down. In 1965, that house was 20 grand brand new. And then it went to 40, and then it went to 80, and then it went to 160, and then it doubled again and it's 320. Then it's doubled again and it's 640. And when it doubles again, it'll be 1.2 million. Which it hasn't quite done yet, but almost. So it's 800, probably 800, so it might even be 900 today. I don't know. But it's for sure more than 800. There's no doubt about that. So that whole neighborhood has nothing to do with that house. There's nothing special about that house. But that neighborhood is the exact perfect rental property. It's in the right neighborhood. It's the right year built. It's which makes it about 8 miles from downtown, my town. It's on the good side of town. It is 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms, and no busy streets, nothing funky, no room additions. So that would be the perfect rental property. So I would overpay to get that one because it has a history of doubling in value more times than anything else. So the other thing that bargain price, high rents is the other one. So, you know, I was thinking about a rental property I had where the tenant kind of became my friend. And so I went over to visit him for – I forget. I was going to get something signed or something. I don't know. I was going to visit him for some reason. So when I go into the house, the carpeting had literally lost the properties of matter. It was like harder than cement. You know, like the pad was completely – you know, I hadn't been over there in years. He had been my tenant for many years. And I said, oh, my goodness, this carpeting is horrible. Let's get that replaced for you. And he goes, oh, no, I don't want that. I go, no, you get new carpet, you get new car smell. I said, I'll have my carpet guy call you, and then you can pick the color. He'll give you, you know, 3 or 4 choices maybe that are more normal colors, nothing purple or blue. And he goes, nah. He goes, I don't want that. I'll have to move all my stuff. Now, when he moved out, did I have to replace the carpet? Of course I did. I had to repaint. I had to do all that stuff. So what you're looking for is the tenant who stays with you a long time. You don't want to be churning through tenants because every time you do, you're replacing carpet, you're painting, you're doing all kinds of fixing stuff. And so to leave the rent a little bit low. So let's say in 1965, I had overpaid for that house. And instead of paying $20,000, I paid $25,000. So that would be a significant overpayment, $5,000 over fair market value. That would be like paying $2.5 million for a house that's worth $2 million. So that would be a pretty big overpayment. And let's say that the rent that I charged was 10 or 15% below market value, okay? When that doubles to $40,000 and then again doubles to $80,000, is anybody going to care about that? That isn't going to affect the rate of return hardly one little bit. So what matters is your rate of return and the pain in the butt factor of churning through tenants. And when you have a good tenant and they say, I'm thinking about moving, say, if I lowered your rent, would you stay? Well, yeah. Okay, well, then I'll lower the rent, you know. So make it easy for them to stay. So always focus on the long-term goals. And the long-term goal is always how many times I can get it to double in value. And then secret number 6 is, you know, if you are a mutual fund owner, I'm going to drink coffee. Oh, that's great. Now, if you're going to own a mutual fund, isn't it true that your mutual fund has a manager? You're not allowed to pick the stocks that are in that mutual fund, and maybe you're getting a rate of, you know, 16% or something like that. Well, the minimum rate of return you could get on a rental property, if it never even went up in value a penny, would be about 15%. So real estate is very forgiving, but it would be very easy to get a 40 to 60% annual rate of return on a real estate. And yeah, you can easily afford a professional manager. So when the tenant comes along, there are bad tenants in the world. So the bad tenant knows they're going to be a bad tenant. And the reason they know they're going to be a bad tenant is they were a bad tenant last time with the last landlord. And what they're looking for is a sign that you're going to be the landlord that allows them to be a bad tenant. And that sign is written in felt pen. It says, for rent, call Bob in felt pen. Okay? That's I'm the guy he wants to be a bad tenant for. Well, who he doesn't want to call is the sign that's professional that says, we evict you in 10 seconds, professionalpropertymanagement.com. He doesn't want that one. So if you have a professional property manager, you're going to get a much better tenant. And by the way, the bad tenant, you're going to get lower rent if you have a professional property manager. But you'll actually get the rent. See, the bad tenant doesn't care how high the rent is because he ain't going to pay it anyway. It doesn't matter. So when your rate of return is 16% on your mutual fund and you have a professional mutual fund manager, when you're getting 40 to 60% on a real estate investment, you can afford a professional manager. So that's what you need to do. I'm going to do a shameless plug, shall we?
Time for Bob Leffler's Shameless Plug!
By the way, if any of the stuff we talk about here on the big podcast makes any sense to you whatsoever, and if that's true, you probably need to get yourself checked out. But anyway, if you happen to be earning less selling real estate than you wish you were, and you're open to the idea of having some help with that, you can go to fearlessagent.com. And in the banner across the top on the right-hand side, on the left-hand side, you see a highly retouched glamour photo of me, high school graduation photo.
Which I have turned into a poster for this
That's
studio.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Very creepy. But on the right side, you can click on the free webinar. That's a video. Watch that. Take notes. And then you can call me anytime right here at 480-385-8810, toll free day or night. That is my cell phone. I'll do a complimentary coaching call with you, and we'll just see if you and what you're trying to do in your real estate career and what we do at Fearless Agent, if that would be a good fit. If it is, you'll probably get rich. Like the guy who called in, he's doing very well financially. He takes a couple of listings a month and does it in California where the houses are pretty expensive. He charges more than everybody else, and his clients love him because he sells their houses for way more than they're worth. So if you'd like to have the same experience he has, you can call me toll-free day or night at 480-385-8810. If you happen to be a real estate company owner and you are recruiting fewer producing agents than you wish you were, give me a call about that. Go to fearlessagentrecruiting.com, watch my recruiting video, and then give me a call. I'll do a complimentary recruiting coaching call with you. Until now, next week, we're going to do math. Are you ready, Ramon?
Exciting cliffhanger.
You love math. Way to ice the crowd with math on the air. But once again, I want to thank all of you for joining us. And please do give us a 5-star review. In spite of the McDonald's stories, the tropical fish stories that you had to endure.
I kind of enjoyed that part, actually.
Yeah.
I enjoy it all.
And yeah, you do. You know what we love? Did you ever work at a bowling alley?
No.
That seems like it. That always seemed like it would be a fun job.
Spraying those stinky shoes? I don't think
no,
so.
No, you're right. I was wrong. I take it back. I don't want to touch that. So if you go to fearlessagent.tv, subscribe to that. Subscribe to this podcast. Please do give us a 5-star review. And until next week, do what we always do. Have fun. Be humble. Most of all, be fearless. Thanks again.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.